Amen. That was very motivational, wasn't it, to watch that? And this morning, I'd like you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to begin with verse 33. I don't know if you have your Bibles and you're ready, but I'm going to start this morning reading. We have a long text, but so good. I'm going to compare with, this is a movie facing the giants and the actual David and Goliath in the Bible and how we can apply it to our lives this morning. Starting with verse 33, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh over to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and the spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Thank God for his word. Amen. That's some powerful, powerful stuff in that today. And I just want to talk this morning a little bit about the giants that you may be facing and that how we can face them, but not just face them, but we can conquer them. Amen. That we can have victory over them. And I think it's really neat how this sermon is at the end of a year. Some of us want to put this whole year behind us and say, "I'm glad it's over. Maybe it was a good year and you're ready for another good year." But nonetheless, there are things that we may be facing in the future that we don't know or we may have fear about. And so at the end of this year, this is, for me, a great way to end and then face our giants as we go forward. Amen? So we all have fears and we all have dreams. And some of them God has given us, and it's been a long time. Sometimes the dream becomes unreachable because of our own circumstances and our struggles. Sometimes we give up on a dream because we listen to other voices. Today I want to encourage you and motivate you to face your giant, to look at it differently, and realize that with God, all things are possible. Before I begin talking about some of the giants that may be in your life, I just want to share with you that the reason why this sermon to me, and I'm excited to preach it, and it's just, is because God had to do something in me. And it had to work in me and become real to me that in my own life, I was facing a giant. A giant that I never realized how big it would be. And maybe it was good that I didn't. But in my own life, facing the giant of becoming this certified chaplain was huge. God had spoken it to me many years ago when we served on the other church. I mean, I want to say 7 years ago or more, maybe even almost nine, that this was going to be something that he birthed in me, a vision and a dream. And there were going to be obstacles, and there were going to be things along the way, little giants. And yet, at this point in my life, this past year, it has seemed like a very big giant. And different things have come into my life that have made me feel afraid of the future, afraid of facing it, wanting to give up, wanting to settle, just settle for, I could just be a regular chaplain here at the hospital on weekends, or I can just work a little hospice, and isn't that good enough? It's too hard. It's too much of a struggle. It's too difficult. I'll never get in. How will I get my master's degree? How will we be able to afford it? So many little giants with this big giant that was at the end. And so I just wanted to share that with you, that this message is continuing to work in my life, and I'm preaching it to myself as I preach it to you this morning. Amen? So what are our giants? Some of them are unemployment, maybe abuse as a child or as an adult, fear. Fear is a huge giant. Financial insecurity, low self-esteem. But David's giant came in the form of a man, much larger, much taller, much more experienced. A man that taunted the Israelites. Now, in the chapter before, he used to come out and with all his bronze, and he stood 9 feet tall, and he would just mock the Israelites. All the Philistines would come out, and they would just torture them with fear, these Israelites, God's chosen people. Okay, remember that. It was the Philistines and the Israelites, and God had a promised plan for these Israelites, a plan that he was going to accomplish. But the Philistines seemed much bigger and much stronger than these Israelites, and it held them captive in fear. Who would face this giant? So David was young and inexperienced. He was thin. He was a shepherd boy. He'd never fought in any armies or any military. He was just a boy who killed a bear and a lion and protected his little flock. Just a young boy. So David did not have this warrior against him, okay? It wasn't just man to man. He had the whole army, the whole Philistine army. Goliath was just at the beginning. So this Philistine would be yelling at him. And not only was the Philistine yelling and taunting him, but even his own brothers. Who do you think you are? How are you going to do that? Have you ever had family members go, what do you think you're trying to do? What do you think you're trying to do, plant a church, Pastor Debbie? Come on, you never did that before. Those little voices that come in our head. He uses sometimes our friends to douse our dreams and keep saying to just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing it. Don't reach any bigger. Don't go any further. You can't afford it. You can't do it. You're not smart enough to do it. Don't go forward. And they want you to doubt what God has said to you. You ever feel doubt come in when God has given you something really great? Doubt. It just comes in. It's just natural. We doubt. How can this vision, this thing is too big? I just can't do it. I have all these other responsibilities. So in this little clip we just watched, what did the coach say to Brock? How's your attitude? How's your attitude? And it stinks. A lot of it has to do with our attitude, how we approach it. We can be our own Goliath. We can be our own worst enemy. Have you heard that before? We doubt. We have low self-esteem that we could ever accomplish something great for God. So where is our focus? Can we hear God? You know your Goliath's voice, and you see it coming. The coach put the blindfold on Brock so he could not see how far he had to go. He could only listen to the coach's voice. The coach had Jeremy on his back, weighing not 140 pounds, but 160 pounds. And when I looked at that, I said, this represents our circumstances, okay, that we used as excuses to why we can't overcome our Goliath. This weight that's on his back is his circumstance. It's heavy. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. And it says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." That's in the Old Testament. What do we use in the New Testament that when we're facing something and we stand upon the word, we say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen? David's focus was not on Goliath, but on God. David can see what the others cannot see, all the Israelites. And he decides not to see what the others can. Do you understand what I'm saying? He sees the army of God. He sees God. And he decides not to see Goliath. He decides not to see the army. He decides not to see his circumstances as a small shepherd boy, but his focus is on God. The people, the Israelites, all know about who Goliath is. They have majored in knowing Goliath. And isn't that like today? We have self-help books that say our inner child is still not developed. We have our own self-diagnosed Goliath. And we use these excuses for not reaching our full potential. I have trust issues. I have fear of rejection. I am an introvert. I can't stand for what I believe. I have fear of rejection. We know more about our Goliath than we know who God is. If you know who God is, you don't need to be worried about your Goliath. Amen? Okay, remember this is interactive. Amen? Okay, I can't preach by myself up here. I need your participation. I told you that the last time. We know more about all of our problems and all of our shortcomings and all of our failures, but do we know who God is? Do we know that we have the captain of the ship? Do we know we have the leader of the team? Do we know the voice that's saying, "Come on, yes you can, yes you can, keep on going, yes you can, don't give up"? That is the voice of God. That is the voice of truth. When voices come to you, and they had them try to sing that song this morning, when voices come to you, all the voices that say you can't, God is saying you can, and that is a voice you need to be listening to. Don't major in knowing your Goliath. Major in knowing who God is. Get into the word. Know who God is. Stand on the promises. I can do all things. He's given you a dream, then you need to go for it. Amen? He is the dream giver. We all have issues. All of us. And I have that in capital issues. We have issues, people. We all have issues. Everybody has issues, okay? I had issues going into this whole chaplaincy thing. Why do I need a master's degree to pray for people? I don't need it. Why do I need certification? Why do I need it? How am I ever going to go into a master's program when I have my bachelor's degree? God opened the door, and I got in. God helped me get the grades. I think he did it miraculously so I'd be humble and not ever get any credit for it, because God did it. He said to me, "I've given you this vision, and I'm going to open up all the doors, and I'm just going to amaze you." And I have been truly amazed. After that, got into this program of these CPE students. So it's only 6 people get selected. Many people get refused. And here am I, just this little, you know, barely a bachelor's degree. But God gave me favor. And that's what God did with David. He gave him favor because he was fighting for God. He was going in the name of the Lord. He was not going in his own might. He didn't even fit the armor that they gave him. So David majors in God. He sees his giant, but he sees God more. And they try to give him all of man's weapons and forms of protection to fight this battle. But you see, David had all he had needed and been given to him when he fought the other battles. You know all those other little battles that you fought in your life, all those other little things, and you kind of look back and go, wow, look at what God did. Why do you think that he gave you those little victories? To build your faith, to help you get to keep moving forward. He didn't give you those to say, okay, that's good, that's enough. All right, that was good, and look at all the things he did for me yesterday, okay? Like looking back over this year, look at all the things God brought me through. He didn't bring you through them just to be, oh, wow, that's great. Now we can just stop, as Brock just wanted to stop. There's no stopping. There's only going forward. There's only advancing. There's only advancing God's kingdom. There's no just, hey, well, we're a church here. Now we can just be. No, we got to go advance. We got to go out. We got to go forward. We got to reach the lost. We don't see the circumstances. We only see God. God's calling us forward. Amen? And I could really detach from these notes and be here too long, but I'm going to try not to. So David had all he needed. God has given you everything you need. He made you. He made you with those visions and those passions and those drives, and he's given you all that you need to face the giants. So when David approaches the giant and the giant belittles him, David speaks to the giant the things that aren't as though they are. Today, I'm going to kill you. And not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to cut your head off. And then I'm going to hand you over. And he says it before it happens. Okay? That's a lot of faith when you think about it. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it today. Can you imagine? I just can't even imagine. Imagine all the other Israelites watching going, oh, my goodness, we're dead. We're dead meat. They're going to come after us. Imagine the fear that they had. Just like on Brock's team when they were watching him. Ha, 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 ha. Look at him. He's not going to make it. Even his own teammates, right? Don't we do that as Christians sometimes? Look at them. Sometimes we're not there coaching and spurring them on. We're all guilty of it. Sometimes we're just sitting around going, oh, wow, look what happened to them. Why aren't we encouraging them? We're all part of a team. Amen? We're all part of a team. In order to face all the giants in our lives, we do it together. Amen. So David had his small stones and his little slingshot. And when David approaches the giant and the giant belittles him, like I said, he speaks the things that aren't as though they are. There's a passage in Romans 4:17, and I'm not going to go into reading it, but it talks about Abraham, and he says about how he spoke the things that aren't as though they are. Imagine Abraham. God promised him he would be a father of many nations, and he didn't even have a child, and his wife was old, but God promised him that. How about God? In the very beginning, he spoke things that aren't as though they were. He said, let there be light, and light had not been. God is always showing us examples of speaking things that aren't as though they are. I am going to be a chaplain at that Leominster Hospital. I am. Not because of what I can do, but because I know God's going before me. I don't know how it's going to get done. I don't know how long it's going to take. If I knew how long it was going to take, I'd probably give up. If Brock knew that he was going to go all the way to the end zone, do you think he would have thought he could have done it? He was only required to go to the 50-yard line. I said to my husband, how far did he really go? Because he went 100 yards. With all his circumstances, with all his issues, not looking at all at how far he had to go, but listening to his coach, the voice of truth, encouraging him. So we need to speak the things that aren't in our lives. The Bible says that the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. And don't we use that tongue for some wicked things sometimes? Sometimes it's used in anger. Sometimes it's used in gossip. Sometimes it's used in speaking things, you can't do it, you won't make it, why do you never do it, you're not good enough. All these things, the power of life is in the tongue. We need to start speaking those things. And I'm not saying it's magical, okay? I'm not like, well, I'm going to speak that I have a Rolls Royce, or I'm going to speak that I have a Mercedes, or I'm going to, no. Speak life. Speak truth. Speak when God has given you something, like maybe God said to you, I'm going to save your whole family. And you're like, oh yeah, you don't know my family. You need to start speaking life and believe in God, that God's going to save those that family. You got to believe in that God's going to restore something. If God's spoken it to you, nobody can take it away from you. No doubt, no fear, no circumstance can take that away from you. God has given you a vision. Now, I want to believe today that today is going to be a day you're going to be motivated to face your giant. Before I'm done here today, that today we're going to fill this altar with people that are saying, I am not going to look at the giant. I'm going to look at the victory. David didn't look at the giant. Oh, my goodness, look how big he is. David looked at victory. He looked, today is my day. Today I'm going to celebrate. Today the children of Israel are going to rejoice because the God of Israel is going to save his people. And he's going to do it through a little shepherd boy. He's going to do it through something small and insignificant. And sometimes we feel that way about ourselves, small and insignificant. Well, I can't get up and preach, or I can't get up and sing like Pastor Debbie. What can I do for God? Let me tell you something. God wants to use the slaying of your giant in your life as a testimony of what God can do. And through that testimony, you will reach others. You will reach your family. Your family will sit back and take note and say, look what has happened to them. They were always fearful. They were always addicted to something. They were always hiding. They never said anything. They never shared the love of God. And now, look what has happened. Because God has given you a vision, and you need to speak life and truth. So we need to speak things like financial peace and freedom from generational curses. Do you know that those are real things? This is what happened to my father, and happened to his father, happened to their father. I hear it all the time. Well, my parents were married, and they divorced, and then I got married, and then I divorced, and then it just continues on. I was abused, and then I became an abuser, and then they were abused, and it just goes on. And I sit with many families in crisis situations, and I hear about how one generation after the other, it's just a line of a curse that is in their family. It's not like they sat down and go, oh, we were cursed and someone put a curse on us. But it's just the natural laws of sowing and reaping that just continue from generation to generation. However, when Christ comes into your life, that curse is broken, okay? That is broken and no longer needs to continue on. Amen? 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 says, so David said to the Philistine, you come against me with the sword and the spear and the javelin. Even this big guy, it says he had a sword or shield bearer in front of him. He must have been a little bit afraid, you think? He had this little shield bearer, and he still had all those weapons in front of him. But David says, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, of the Almighty God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David sees that the army of God is bigger than any Goliath and all of his armies, and what he's going to do. He runs toward the enemy and toward the Philistine. He doesn't retreat. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I should get some people in front of me, and maybe they should go in front of me first, some of the bigger guys, and then I'll just, you know, maybe hope one of my rocks hits them. He runs right towards it. Run right toward it, right toward your fear, right toward the thing that is standing between you and victory. Don't be afraid of it. Run toward it. Because when you run toward it, the sooner you get there, the sooner the victory. Amen? Don't run away from it. Don't let time go by. Don't let circumstances come in and stop you from running toward your Goliath. Verse 48 says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. The last point I want to say is the battle's not yours. It's his. It's not yours. You can't fight it in your own strength. All eyes were watching in anticipation, both sides of the army, the Philistines and the Israelites. People are watching you, as I said earlier. The players on Brock's team were all watching, and they said the 50-yard line and how far. They saw how far it was. They saw what he was carrying. They knew their teammate's strength. They knew he couldn't do it. It looked impossible, but the whole time the coach was saying, Brock, you can do it. Just 30 more steps. Just 20 more. And David doesn't see the Goliath approach him with fear. He's not looking at it, well, I hope if I'm lucky, maybe I'll hurt him a little bit. No, he plans, I'm going to kill it once and for all. How about that thing that just keeps you from going forward? Don't you just want to kill it? Once and for all, it's over. It was over on the cross. This is before the cross, okay? This is when they just had the voice of God talking to them. They didn't even have the power of the cross yet in their lives. We have the power of the cross. We have Christ in us. Don't you want to say, it's over, fear? It's over, low self-esteem? It's over being afraid and not having having trust issues? It's over. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of using this thing as a thing that stands between me and what God has for me. God wants you to have a victorious life. God wants you to have a life of freedom. Those Israelites want to be free. Yay! No more. The Philistine, that big giant is not going to scare us and intimidate us anymore. Neither is the thing in your life need to stay there and intimidate you any longer. Amen? Okay. But what do we do sometimes? We avoid a person. We avoid a situation. Okay, no, I'm not signing up for that ministry. No, I can't do it. We avoid it. We settle for our present circumstance instead of living a victorious life. We just settle. It's okay. I'm doing good. Everything's going by. Everything's smooth sailing. Is that what you want in your life? The Bible says he came to give us joy and joy more abundantly. Not just settling for just mediocre. Not just settling for just calm, just let's just let not stir anything up. Let's just keep it calm. But you know what was when everything was stirred up and the storm was raging that Jesus was in the midst of it and the miraculous happened, wasn't it? It was when the impossible situations came in the Bible that God got all the glory and more people came to follow him. Amen? We don't want calm. We want to be seeing God do some great things in our lives. There's a whole other plane of living. You can live on this plane and just settle for working and having a place to live and having a career and hoping to live a little bit longer and just settling. Or you can say, you know what? God has given me some things. God has said some things to me. And I know that God says things to everybody. So we all have something that God has said to us that he was going to do. And we cannot give up. We don't want to play it safe and never look for opportunities for God to show up. Don't we want to see God show up? Don't we want to see him do something great? Don't we want to go, oh my goodness, look what God has done. Look how did I get here? Truly amazing. You see, the battle is not yours to fight, but he wants our best. Your very best, Brock. Give it your very, very best. God doesn't want what we can do. He wants us to give it our best. I grew up with parents that used to say, everything you do for the Lord, you should do your best. Even if you're just cleaning toilets, you do your best. Do your best in everything you do so that God gets glory. When you do your best at your job and your boss says to you, wow, you're doing a great job, that speaks to Christ in you. when you're doing your best, as best you can as parenting, but you know how hard that is, and that's really a hard thing. When your children grow up and they serve God, you could say, I gave my best. Your life is an example. Your life, people are depending on you to overcome your giant. The children of Israel were depending on David to slay the Goliath. They were depending on God to show up. Imagine all those people must have been thanking and praising God and having victory. They danced, it says in the Bible, afterwards because of the victory that they won. All those people who whose faith was strengthened in the God of Israel because of the slaying of a giant by a little shepherd boy. Let me tell you something. I feel like a little nothing in my little CPE group. I feel intimidated. I sit with people with Masters of Divinity degrees. I sit there and I can't even use the vocabulary they use. I feel stupid. I don't feel qualified to be here. I'm the only one that's a Christian, and they're all chaplains. I don't know how that works. I don't know how it works that in my little group that someone says, I don't believe in there any divine being, and they want to be a pastor. Like, I don't get it. I felt insecure about sharing my own testimony to my group because I thought they were going to attack me. I was like, ah. I was practically crying. I just wanted to read it. I was afraid. I was threatened by their intellect and their experience. And I knew they were going to just want to be like, well, how'd that happen? But I just shared my thing. I just shared my story. And my teacher said to me, well, there's chaplains that follow the enlightened path of intelligence. And then there's the inspirational chaplains. And he said, I'm not saying that you're not enlightened, but you're more on the inspirational. And I said, well, glory to God. I want to be on the inspirational. I want to pray for people and see them get healed. I want to bring hope, and I want to bring life, and I want to bring joy. I want to bring Jesus. That's what I want to bring. I want to bring Jesus in the room. I want to bring Jesus to my patients. I want to bring Jesus to them because you know what? He's the only hope. Amen? But this battle that I'm in, that you're in, is not ours to fight. Just God's just saying, do your best. Keep going forward. Don't listen to the voices. Don't look with your eyes at the end and see how far it is. Just listen to the voice of truth. It says, I've given it to you. I've promised it to you. Don't stop. Keep going forward. Other lives are depending upon you. I just want to play that clip again. And I want you to think about what I've shared with you. And I want you to think about when it plays, I want you to put that, the circumstances, when you look at Jeremy on his back, all of your circumstances, I want you to imagine that. And when the coach talks to him, I want you to imagine God talking to you and saying, you can do it. You can make it. And then we're going to end with a time of prayer. Man, can you see it? Can you see yourself defeating that giant today? Can you see yourself having victory? You know, that was the beginning of David's being king. If you read on in Samuel, you see how God made him king. And there were many other things that came into David's life. David was not a perfect man, but David knew who God was, and he loved God. And none of us are perfect, and we're all going to make mistakes in our walk. We're all going to struggle. We're all going to say, it burns, it hurts, it's too hard, I need to rest, I need to stop. But we need to listen to that voice of truth this morning. We need to know that he is stronger when we're weak, when we're struggling, that he is stronger, amen? Today is a day of killing giants, okay? So we all have giants in our lives, and as Leighton is going to be playing, I'd just like you to close your eyes. And just as you've heard the word this morning, let the Holy Spirit reveal to you maybe some of the things or some of the doubts or some of the fears that you feel that have kept you from really being free. Some of the things that you feel like you've just settled for good enough. I'm making it in. I got the pass. I got the get out of jail free card. I'm going to heaven. But God has so much more for us than just, you know, salvation is a gift to receive in the beginning, and then it's what we do with it. And it's how we show Christ to others, and it's how we live victorious. He doesn't want us to just settle for just being saved. He wants us to live victorious. He wants to give us our dreams. He wants to bless us beyond our imagination. He wants to use your life for the glory of God beyond your little sphere of influence. You have no idea what's at the end zone. You have no idea where God's going to bring you. Brock went further than 50 yards. He went 100 yards. Maybe the thing that God has given you is just the beginning of the things that God has for you. But I know one thing. It's not your battle. So today, I'd like you to come up. If you feel like, you know what, I want to slay this giant in my life once and for all. I want to come forward and I want to put this thing under my feet. I want to slay it. I want to speak the things that aren't as though they are. I want to say that I'm going to live a victorious life. I'm going to live a life of freedom. I'm going to live a life of peace. And that is the way it's going to be. Today. Today, we can kill the giants because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Amen. So we're going to sing that song. And if that's you and you want to kill some giant in your life today, I want you to come up and we're going to pray for you. So let's just take a step of faith. Don't let fear amongst the body of Christ intimidate you. We're all here saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can do it. We're here to cheer you on and say, you know what? You can make it. God can give you the desires of your heart this morning. So as he sings, let's just be prepared to move on out.
Christ is risen, Jesus, you, O Lord of all.
Let's move out in our faith this morning. Come on, I know you're out there and you're just struggling. I don't want to go up, but you know what? That could be standing between you and your victory this morning. So let's just move on out. We all have things, amen? We all have things that we struggle with. But we're going to sing that and declare it today that you are stronger. You are stronger. Hallelujah. Let's just close in prayer this morning. We thank you, God. Lord, we know that a lot of giants are defeated today, God. We thank you, God, that this is the end of 2014. That any of those little things that were trying to raise their ugly heads in our lives, God, that today, God, they're defeated because you are stronger in us. And we're going to walk away from today with a little lighter step, knowing that you have already given us the victory, God. We're going to walk with eyes of faith, ears that only listen to the voice of truth as we enter into this new year. You have great things for us. Let us remember today, oh God, that we slayed the giant in our life, oh God, and that you have such great things in store for us in 2015. Bless everybody that's here. Give them a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.